الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى صدق الله العظيم.
In the 17th year of Hijrah, when Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa, the Caliph of the Muslims, there came a need that was to be met out and seen for the benefit of the Muslim Ummah. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had placed certain systems in his rulership, and under his guidance many great Sahaba radiallahu anhum like Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan amongst others radiallahu anhum would take counsel and seek counsel from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in the affairs of governance, in the affairs of deen, masail, etc. So on one particular occasion, during the 17th year of Hijrah, when Umar radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu were exchanging letters, and there was a certain discussion that was going on between the two great Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Umar radiallahu anhu found that there was a need that these letters should be dated. There was a need to understand and to know so that everything is in order, when what was communicated, whether this particular statement or ruling was in regard to a certain scenario and case at a certain time, and the circumstances may have changed thereafter. So due to that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had called for a shura, and various Sahaba radiallahu anhum got together and they decided to form the Islamic calendar. The Islamic calendar, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alhamdulillah through His grace and mercy has allowed us to witness another new year in the Islamic calendar, 1447, with today being the first of Muharram, was formed in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab because of this circumstance that has prevailed at that time. Just to go a little bit more into detail in regard to this mashwara and this council that had taken place amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu had asked various Sahaba to give their opinion on how to go about in terms of the Islamic calendar, when it should start, which month should be the first month. So some Sahaba radiallahu anhum suggested that it should be based on the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu was not so happy about this, because the Christians have based their calendar on the birth of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he didn't want any form of resemblance in as far as the action of the Christians are concerned. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum said that it should be based on the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if not the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu again was not so pleased and happy with this suggestion, because the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very painful for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And in the history of Islam, there wasn't a moment that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had felt more pain than budding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and rightfully so. The greatest of human beings they had lived with, they were prepared to give their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he refused and he did not accept this suggestion. And then a third suggestion was made. According to many historians, it was given by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. He suggested that the Islamic calendar should start based on the hijrah and the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. Umar radiallahu anhu was very pleased with this suggestion. Why? Because during the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Madinatul Munawwara, this was the time that when truthfulness had reached its peak and batil and falsehood was plummeting down. So Umar radiallahu anhu was pleased with this session and took that into consideration. And then came the discussion in regard to which month should be the first month in the Islamic calendar. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum again, based on the discussion that the calendar will start on the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which had taken place in Rabi'ul Awwal. This was the month that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And it was also the month that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. So upon further studying the entire hijrah and migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was found that the initial intention and discussion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in terms of his intention to travel and to migrate from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara was in Muharram. And also, there is speciality attached to this month when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared and decreed the month of Muharram to be His month. In the entire collection of ahadith, wherein mention of the various Islamic months has been made, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had only declared and attributed the month of Muharram to be Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about fasting in the month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ رَمَضَانِ صِيَامُ شَهْرِ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best of fasts after the fast of Ramadan are the fasts that are kept in the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning Al-Muharram. So because of these reasons, the Islamic calendar would have started from Muharram, and it would have been taken into consideration from the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. So as Muslims and as believers, as the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know very well that now we cannot make hijrat. We cannot migrate like the way the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا هجرة بعد الفتح ولكن جهاد ونية. That after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had conquered Makkatul Mukarramah and it had come into the hands of the Muslims, there is no more hijrah. There is no more migration. Because we are living in peace, we are living in tranquility, there is no enemy to attack us as far as practicing on our deen, etc. is concerned. So there is no hijrah like that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. Where Sahaba radiallahu anhum had given their lives, some were prepared to give their lives. Some had left everything that they had all behind in Makkah al-Mukarramah to fulfill this compulsory act of hijrah at that time. We cannot compare what we leave behind. We cannot compare the difficulties that we may go through when we are migrating from one place to another, one city to another, one country to another, simply because our primary intention would be to practice on deen or to practice on Quran and Sunnah more easily. We cannot compare the difficulties that we will bear or we may have borne in moving from one place to another compared to the difficulties that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been through these difficulties. Upon leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns behind, he looks at Makkah Mukarramah. He goes few steps, he turns again, he looks at Makkah al-Mukarramah, he starts to cry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time has promised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will one day give you victory and you will become the owner of Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Muslims will own Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Muslims will rule over Makkah al-Mukarramah. And you will come back to your motherland. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sincere love for Makkah al-Mukarramah, that was his birthplace. He had sincere love for Madinah al-Munawwarah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made that his place of migration. But your hometown is your hometown. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. Yes, we cannot make that hijrah. But there is one hijrah, there is one migration, which if we bring into our lives, that will be the hijrah that will testify for us on the day of Qiyamah. That will be the hijrah that will allow us entry into Jannah. That will be the hijrah that will change our lives in this world and will change our end result in the hereafter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about this hijrah and he says, wal muhajiru man hajara ma naha Allahu an. That as far as that hijrah is concerned, it is done. But a true muhajir, for every ummati, for every person to come till the day of Qiyamah, Muslim and non-Muslim, male or female, regardless of your age, you can still be a muhajir. What kind of muhajir? وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. A true muhajir, a true migrator is one who leaves out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden a person from. So hijrah, linguistically, it means to leave out something. So in context, it refers to moving from one place to another. But the dictionary meaning of hijrah, it means At-tark, to leave out something. So when a person leaves out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden him from, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want him to be involved in, he becomes a true muhajir. He becomes a true muhajir. He becomes a beloved servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply because he has now come onto terms with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that, oh Allah, you have commanded me to do this, I will do this. You have told me to stay away from this, I will stay away from this. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to do and carry out, we will do that. Whatever Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to leave out, we will leave that out. That is when we will become true muhajir. That is when we will become true migrators. Living a life of disobedience and changing it towards a life of obedience. So this time of the year when we are reminded and when we speak about or make mudhakara about this hijrah, about the Islamic calendar, then we ourselves need to introspect and ask ourselves, what hijrat am I making now? Sahaba radiallahu anhum made a big sacrifice at that time. What sacrifice am I making as far as my desires are concerned? What sacrifice am I making as far as my life and my hereafter is concerned? As far as the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is my salah in order? Am I performing my salah? If I am performing my salah, am I performing with jamaat? If I'm not performing with jamaat, then I need to change that. I need to make hijrat and leave out performing salah on my own and make sure I attend the masjid. Is my zakat in order? Have I discharged my zakat on a yearly basis in accordance to what is compulsory upon me? So as far as zakat is concerned, this reminds me of the importance of the Hijri calendar, the Islamic calendar, that there are many rulings that are formed around the Islamic calendar. For example, the calculation of zakat. It's supposed to be given on a yearly basis. And the yearly basis that we speak about is the Islamic calendar. Not the Gregorian calendar, it is the lunar calendar, the Islamic calendar. We base our calculations on that. The month of Dhul Hijjah, an Islamic calendar, marks the time for Hajj to be performed. The months, the Islamic months, bring us one after the other to the month of Ramadan. A person, a child becomes baligh. He becomes baligh at the age of 15. This age of 15 is not the Gregorian age of 15. It is the Islamic calendar that is based on. So Gregorian calendar, if a person says I am 15 years old, Islamically he would be roughly 14 years and 6 months or 14 years and 8 months. So because of that difference, we understand that there is some significance behind this Islamic calendar. Nonetheless, our zakat as far as the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that in order? If Hajj was fard on me, have I performed Hajj? So the huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasting in the month of Ramadan, as a man, if I may have missed any fast due to traveling or illness, have I made qada of those fasts? Many a woman folk, for so many years, due to their monthly cycle, etc., they have qada for so many years. We ourselves as men, we need to make sure that our wives have made qada of those fasts. Our daughters are taught that qada of those fasts should be done. Recently, during and after the month of Ramadan, we had received multiple queries as far as the qada fasts are concerned. Can we just not pay it out instead of making qada? No, you cannot pay it out and you cannot give fidya as long as you are fit and healthy to fast. So we need to make sure that our wives, the women folk, our daughters are well educated in regard to the Islamic rulings of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. As far as the rights of huququl ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are our relationship with our parents, are they in order? Our relationship with our children, are they in order? Our relationship with our brothers and sisters, are they in order? Our marriages, our spouses, are our relationships in order? As employers and employees, are our relationships and rights that we owe to each other in order? As far as our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the things that are around us, our assets, our properties and whatever we own, all those things, are we going to leave it in order and have a correct Sharia based Islamic will? Have we made sure that these things are in order? Because life has no guarantee for anybody. So huququllah, huququl ibad, everything should come to order. If we have not done that, if we have not introspected in these aspects, then this is the time that we are reminded that we should take an audit of our lives. Just like a businessman has a financial year end, and he visits all of his accounts and he makes sure that wherever I've made a loss, I need to rectify that. Wherever I was supposed to make more profits, why did I not make more profits? So similarly in our lives, our goal, our intention, our maqsad, our purpose should be that we are gaining as far as our investments of the hereafter are concerned. This world is really insignificant. It has no value. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. فَبَرَّ بِجَدْيٍ أَسَكَّ مَيِّتٍ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they passed by a short-eared kid, a baby goat. And that too, it was dead. So a short-eared animal amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would be regarded as a low quality and low class animal. Number two, it was dead. It was a small animal, it was dead, it had no value. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were passing. He found that this is the perfect time for me to make sure that my Sahaba radiallahu anhum learn what is the actual value of this world, or does it even have any value. So he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, أَيُّكُمْ يَأْخُذُ هَذَا بِدِرْهَمْ Who is ready to take this small-eared baby goat kid for one dirham? That too, it was dead. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum replied, and frankly they said, we won't even take it for free. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion had mentioned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that by the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this world is more insignificant in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the insignificance of this small-eared kid that is dead in your eyes. So our purpose should be investing in the hereafter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion had ordered his household to slaughter a sheep and distribute its meat to the needy people. So it was a voluntary act. It was something Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ordered his family members due to his busy schedule. He may have handed it over to his family and he went and made himself busy with whatever he had to do at the time. After a while, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back, he asked for a report. Everyone looks for a report back or a feedback, etc., when we are given certain duties and tasks. So while we are in this world, whatever we do, there'll be a report and a feedback of what we've done in this world in the hereafter. That is the preparation we need to make. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, has all the meat been distributed? So Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was present at the time, replied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, everything has been given away, only this small portion here is left. So it was the front shank, the front leg of the sheep, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preferred and liked. So they had kept that for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again diverted their attention to the hereafter, and he said, in reality, what is left is what you have given out in charity. And as far as this piece of meat is concerned, you will be questioned about it, or rather I will be questioned about it on the day of Qiyamah. So whatever bounties we enjoy in this world, whatever we have, we may be questioned about it on the day of Qiyamah. So as far as our income is concerned, as far as what we consume is concerned, as far as the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of those that are around us, huququl ibad, we will be questioned about that on the day of Qiyamah. So our investment should be the investment of the hereafter. Our purpose should be that. Therefore, when a person becomes a muhajir, when a person becomes a true migrator in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every moment of his life, when he's auditing his life, he will find that, can I do this? Can I not do this? Is Allah going to be pleased with me if I do this, or is he going to be upset with me if I do this? Is this what Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like, or they do not like? Is this in accordance to the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, or is it against the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah? Is my life in order? The rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of fellow mankind, is all of this in order or not? So in this way, a person becomes a true muhajir. A person makes sincere tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a daily basis, and on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, taking into account what we have done throughout the day, what we have done throughout the month, what we have done throughout the year, is our life in order? Are we ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the current state that we are in? Are we ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our current contents in the books of deeds that we have written for ourselves as far as our lives are concerned? How many years have passed, and I've been reminded on various occasions about stock taking, about auditing my life. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا وَتَزَيَّنُوا لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take stock of yourself. Make an audit of your life before there is an audit in the hereafter. وَتَزَيَّنُوا لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ. Prepare yourselves for the day of Qiyamah. That is your big presentation in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything will be open to us. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the books of deeds being opened. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. That this book of deeds will be placed in front of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ. You will find the transgressors. Allah ta'ala didn't say فَتَرَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Mujrimeen could be a Muslim or a non-Muslim. A person who is a wrongdoer, a transgressor, is part of this term, mujrimin. They will be fearful on that day. And they will have worries and concerns in regard to what is in that book. And they will say, وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا. Woe unto us, destruction unto us. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What is wrong with this book? لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. Every minute thing, every small thing has been recorded in this book. Every big thing has been recorded in this book. So whatever we do in our lives, we are recording it in our book of deeds. And we will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we have done in our lives. Therefore, respected brothers and elders, it is time for us to introspect and to take an audit for our lives. Make true hijrah and migration from a life of disobedience to a life of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make true hijrah and migration from a life that is contrary to the Quran and Sunnah to a life that is in accordance to the Quran and Sunnah. From a life that is against or contrary to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to a life that is in accordance to the path and the life and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the ability and tawfiq and keep us steadfast on sirat al-mustaqim. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.